Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org, and you can hear any of these recordings. If you've missed any, go on to the Vision Radio there, and you can hear them. If you want to see the text as well as hear them, you can go on to Daily Blog there and do both. You can also hear sermons. Sometimes with these programs, our sermons kind of chopped up into bits, but many times they're not. They're brand new teachings or teachings we're doing only for the radio and the blog. And what you can do is go on to the sermon button there, and you can hear all sermons right there from voiceofvision.org. Find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship and about our missionaries and the things we do in service times and a Google map to find us and all of that. And you can email me, Pastor JD at voiceofvision.org. Well, today's teaching, friends, we're going to entitle Crucify Him. I'm going to go ahead and read a passage. We're going to read several passages today, I believe, but I'm going to go ahead and read John chapter 21, verse 19 says, "And after this he said to him, Follow me." But let me go ahead and read some more of that. This is after Jesus came back from the dead, and he was about to go back to the Father, and he was talking to Peter. And then Peter said, "What about this guy?" And Jesus said, "Hey, don't worry about him. Remember, he had said, 'Do you love me more than these?' three times." And Peter said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Feed my sheep." In verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. This is the Gospel of John. Loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him, and said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? You follow me." Of course, all the rest of them said, "Wow, this guy's not going to die." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. But Jesus didn't say he was not to die. He said, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what's that to you?" So that's the thing. We don't choose the way that we get to die. Romans 8:13 declares, "If we through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. If through the Spirit you put to deed the deaths, to put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live." We think this means that the Spirit gives us power to put those deeds to death, but the reality is not that we put to death the flesh, but that through the Spirit we are to do it. Now, that can be, it can seem subtle to you, but that's important. It's very important. What does this mean, through the Spirit? Well, let's think about that for a second. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. And the Spirit bears witness of the Spirit, crying out, "Abba, Father." And that cry there is not Abba, Father. It's, it's a cry. Because Paul even says in that context there, let's go ahead and read that, you know. God makes us cry in a sense and makes us realize that, you know, He is our Father. When no one else is going to help us, He will. And that's how we know we're the children of God, that even in persecution and tribulation and trial and suffering the death of our flesh, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, He'll be with us. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 8 says, "So then, brothers, we're not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided," again, here's the context, "we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, they're not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." And you know, it goes on to say, "What can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus?" And of course, that is nothing. So where's the Spirit leading? This, oh, turn left at the turn signal. Oh, have goosebumps. You know, I'm not talking about that. He's talking about the death of the flesh. Because he just said, put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit. And the Spirit leads us to that. And it hurts. And it makes us cry out. The Spirit is leading to the cross. And all the sons of God are to follow him there to their own cross, where your will meets God's will. You know, and they're crossing paths there. That is where your cross is. But we often think it's our cross that we want to pick up, put to death the deeds of the body that we decide, instead of walking through life realizing that God brings it up to us, and then will we walk in faith or not? Ah, see there? Again, the Spirit is leading to the cross. And all the sons of God are to follow him there to their own cross. We think to put to death the deeds of the flesh means to do it ourselves, that we must crucify our flesh ourselves. But again, let's begin to think more clearly. When we think of going to the cross, we think of taking up our cross or of following Jesus. We think we do it, like we go running to it. But that winds up having us just bring those things we want to end to the cross, and not all of us. Not those things Jesus wants dealt with first. You know, we have these big emotional roller coaster moments, or, you know, we really go to a meeting and it's good and we give it all on the altar, but it really wasn't all, was it? Then Jesus wants more out of us. That's part of a growing relationship with God. We say we're not ready to do it. That's not living the crucified life. That's saying I'm holding on to my flesh. And we think we can just give it anytime we want to, and the Spirit's going to empower that somehow. Now, that might make you think, huh? Again, we think to put to death the deeds of the flesh means to do it ourselves, and then we crucify it. We pick and choose which part of our flesh is going to die. Which part? Jesus, deal with this first, please. Friends, that's not what the crucified life is all about. Now, some of us know better than that, and we think we let him do it, but it winds up just us being praying, you know, harder and going up to the altar every week or going to the church more often, reading your Bible more often, and wondering why we still want to do the same old things. With both scenarios, it's still us. It's still we doing it, in a sense. But I want you to think about something. The Bible says we've already crucified the flesh, and we just need to walk in that. Galatians 5:24 and 25 says, "Those that are Christ have crucified the lust of the flesh. They should no longer live to the flesh." That's where the misunderstanding takes place. Going from the position in Christ to the condition in life and beginning to realize. And that word means to make real, you know, to cash in on this crucified life in our daily walk. The truth is that this should be a daily walk to the cross. Now, I want you to consider something about crucifixion here. Crucifixion is not putting yourself to death. Rather, it's yielding yourself up to death at the hands of others. The crucified victim doesn't get to choose his own death, as we saw there in John chapter 21. And you know, he said three times, "Feed my sheep." Just like three times he said, "I don't know the man." You know, Peter tried to do it before too. Peter tried to choose his own death. He goes, "I'll even die for you." And Jesus says, "You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows, before the day's over, before the night's over and the day starts." And here he was doing it again, even though he had been strengthened. He had to understand some more. You don't choose your own death. God chooses it for you. What's his will for you? It's wherever he's putting you, to die to self there, not on your own agenda. You may work it out a little bit, but that becomes willpower. How about God's power? The crucified victim doesn't get to choose his own death, or what dies, or how it dies. You don't kill yourself, you let yourself die. You let yourself be killed. Colossians 3:3 tells us, you know, the truth that we're already dead and our life is hid in Christ with God. The role of others, whether they realize it or not, is to help you reckon it so, Romans 6:11. You see, it's a big difference that people just don't seem to get. When Jesus says, follow me, he means to the cross and into the hands of people who want you dead. It's the other people and other situations that kill you. But of course, this is used by God to bring resurrection life. Friends, this is why you can't skip out on church. You think, but it's such a pain. I can't stand it. I don't like it. I don't do as well there. No, you're having to suffer more there. It's not get to a place where you don't suffer. It's get to a place where you do. And then you realize that the death of the flesh is the way to go. It's the only way to have life. Or you just keep playing church, hopping from church to church, or not getting involved. Again, when Jesus said, follow me, he means to the cross and into the hands of people who want you dead. It's the other people and other situations that kill you. Just as it was with Jesus, to be able to see and understand the resurrection power, there must first be the cross. And before the cross, there must be the garden. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? The question is, in that garden, when it's torment and it seems tough and everything's, you know, you think, I wish it could happen some other way. Are you going to plant the seed of surrender like Jesus did? Not my will, but thine be done. Or the seed of self? I can't do this anymore. You surrender and you suffer death in the church community. Or you barricade yourself in your own flesh at home. You visit the garden every day, friends. There's always new crops to harvest. Think about what we were reading in John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. And Peter was told to feed the lambs and all that. And then he looks at John, you know, after Jesus said, this is how you're going to die. And, you know, legend or history says that he was hung on a cross upside down. But he was an old man, and so he had to be taken where he didn't want to go. Looking at others and their cross is not the way. You know, it's not Jesus' way. It's not the way in. It's looking for a way out. You got to live out the truth of verses like 1 Peter 4:1. You know, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now that's Christ, but it's us. We have to have the same like mind. Jesus never sinned. That's us. So we can live to God. You got to believe it. And when that cross, you know, comes to you, you got to carry it, you got to follow him, and you got to have life. It's a battle, there's no doubt. It's a battle of the mind. And if you win the battle with mind, you'll win the battle with sin. You don't choose the way you get to die. God does that for you. Are you going to take up his cross and follow him, or are you going to pick up your cross and go where you want to go? Friends, you need to win the battle of the mind. It's time to stop sinning, and it's time to start winning. You can do that in Christ. Through the Spirit, put the deeds, death, the deeds of the flesh. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield, the Voice of Vision broadcast. See you next time. God bless you.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God.